looking at the Holy Spirit and who He is, what He does. And some of that, as we go along, is what He doesn't do. And in order to see Him clearly, we need to see ourselves clearly. So we're kind of caught in the thing like this. Some of it's good and some of it isn't. And we need to look and sort it out. So I'm just taking us through the Scriptures, and we've been looking at who He is as far as the third person in the Trinity, how the Father sent Him here to be with us, and now we do more than Jesus did now, not better, but more, because there's more of us. And it's still the Spirit of God working through us and working with us. That's what He wants to do. That's what we're created for. That's why they say there's a gap, a vacant space in a person's life until Jesus enters in. Yes, that's the place for God. He fits right in there. And so we're made to do things with God. And the Holy Spirit encourages us in that and shows us Jesus all the time. We wonder how we're going to do it. He points to Jesus. And we're thinking, well, no, I want strength, Lord. No, I won't make you strong. I am your strength. You need to realize it. And then you'll have courage. If we realize that Jesus is our strength, we'll have courage. You don't have to ask God for courage. But if you know that He's your strength, you have courage. You will have. So John chapter 16, taking a lot from the book of John. John gives the divine perspective, if you will, in the gospel message. So he speaks much of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He... Now, I want to emphasize every word that has a capital letter on it, because it's out of place. And it's out of place for a reason. Because it's talking about God. Whether it's He, God, Father, Spirit. Allow me to do that for you. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. This is Jesus speaking. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see Me. And again, a little while, and you will see Me, because I go to the Father. So there's this intermingling. It's God talking to Himself. Wonderful. So don't try to dissect it. Don't try to understand it. It just is what it is. In three verses, in 13 to 15, we have 16 capital letters depicting God in His person of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His person of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has given His all to redeem His mankind. It takes all of that to redeem His mankind. First the Creator to create the man. Then after the man has fallen, the Son to redeem the man. And now the Holy Spirit to keep the redeemed man on the right track. Can you say what Jesus told us in John 15? Without Me, you can do nothing. So the Father has completely provided for that. So every time God asks you to do something and you feel like you can't do it, that's just you. You're talking to yourself. Stop that. Listen to the Father, who has given everything. And if that, you confirm that, and if you get the clear message that it is God, then go. And do whatever it is He's asked you to do. John 16, verse 13. If you're in a body, stay attached to the body as well. John 16, verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. We will never be sure of what the truth is until we know who the truth is. Until you know Jesus, you have opinions about what's true and what's false, but you never really know, because you don't know who the truth is. You've not acknowledged it. You can have a head knowledge of it, but it's not a living knowledge of it. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Because Jesus is the truth, we must consider something else at this point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, the first half of that verse, it says, but of Him, that is of God, You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Whoa. Personified wisdom. So not becoming wise. God does not make you wise. God is our wisdom. God does not make you strong. He is our strength. What you're feeling is His strength. Please don't mistake it for your own. You'll fall on your nose the next 100 yards if you do that. Walk in His strength. Walk in His wisdom. And give thanks that you are sustained and maintained when all the odds are against you. And still, you're kept. Give thanks. In everything. Thessalonians says, give thanks. Just a little aside here. We cannot be in Christ without having been born of the Spirit. And if we are not in Christ Jesus, we don't have an in with the Father. It just is what it is. Not children, still orphans. Not by God's choice, by your own. We don't have an in with the Father. John 3:5, Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born, made alive, born again. Well, what happens? What has to happen for that? You just have to stop for a minute, have a talk with God, and confess probably that you've been in charge, that you've been running the show, and that you've been asking Him to make you strong all this time, and you finally decided to quit. Jesus, would you be my Lord and be my strength? Boom. It's done. Whether you feel anything or not, it's done. An act of faith. We can make observations about religion and comments about faith, but if we're not in Christ, not born again, we are totally unqualified to make a truthful observation about God. Sorry. Disqualified. Oh, excuse me. Do you know God? Oh, no, I don't. I just have opinions about Him. Oh, sorry. You're disqualified. We'd get quite indignant about that, wouldn't we? But that's the truth of the matter. Why would you let somebody speak about God who's unqualified? The world is full of it. That's why Jesus said to His disciples, who do men say that I am? You know, what's the talk around town? Who do they think I am? What's this big deal? Am I just a prophet? What I am? Am I? And that's what they said to Him. And then He said, who do you say that I am? And when Peter got it right, Jesus said, upon this, Peter, I will build my church. You didn't get that right, Peter. Your Father revealed that to you. Ah, not His wisdom, God's wisdom. And He said, upon this rock, upon God speaking to His people, upon this relationship people have with God, I will build my church on nothing else. And you see His church scattered all over the place. And you also see it in wreckage and ruin all over the place because people are back to celebrating themselves instead of celebrating Christ who is their life. There's a mix of His church everywhere. Some is broke, some isn't. But this is what it is. This is the truth. We simply don't know without Jesus what we're talking about because we have no experience in the field. A fellow with me one time, the boss wanted me to take him for a ride in a truck. He said he knew how to drive trucks like that and he was thinking of hiring him. So I took him for a ride and I drove when it was loaded down to Victoria and we were coming back empty and I let him drive back. Not even out of Victoria yet. And I knew that the man had never done that in his life. I'm not very much experienced with it. So I said to him at one point, I actually pulled over and I drove back and I said, if you tell me how much you do know, I can help you. But if you tell me you know what you're doing and you get behind the wheel, I can't help you. So the truth is also about us. Until we reckon with the truth about us, we'll fail to know the truth of Jesus Christ and what He actually came to do and be. He didn't come to shame us at all. That great salvation scripture from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, the verse 17 is beautiful. It says, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through Jesus the world might be saved. Saved from what? Oh, here's the grind. Ourself. I like you people. I think you're nice. I'm proud to be your pastor and all the rest of it. And the rub is, God is delivering you from yourselves. And the hard part for me is, right now, I'm His messenger. So I just have to say it. We need to be delivered from ourselves in many areas, many times along the road. We fall back into the old whatever, and we need to line up again. And the Holy Spirit is there, long-suffering, constantly directing us. Our wounds. Wounds from the past. This will probably come out in another sermon, but just to touch on it a bit. Wounds from the past. We become preoccupied with them, and that's why we go sideways. And the Holy Spirit is with us in all those things. So we have to be honest. Truth. Not just the truth about Jesus, the truth about us. The truth is, which the Holy Spirit reveals to us, is the life of a Christian is one of God's activity. That's what it is. Life of the Spirit is the life of God's activity. The person has ceased to do things for themselves, and now they're doing things with God. Not even for God, with God. He's taken their life over, and it's become livable, useful, helpful, attractive, able to provide for more than just itself. All those things. All those things. God's activity in our lives. Not busy for God, but busy with God, seeking the lost. Luke 19, the last half of the verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. It helps every once in a while to realize where we are. Whatever, grocery shopping or whatever. And to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit at that time. So, Lord, is there anybody here in this lineup that I'm waiting for that you might want me to talk to? Why is it this way? I'm in a hurry, Lord. Why are all those cars there? All that stuff. Because He's doing much more than we could realize. And we may be a witness just in the fact that, like for me, if there's going to be a lineup that doesn't move, it's the one that I step into. It can be the fastest lineup in the store. I step in, something breaks down. The till breaks down, the person, whatever. And I say, that's the flesh. Knock it off, Wayne. You're all right. And maybe just standing there patiently is all the person needs to see. Maybe they just need some grace. Mary lost Jesus as a young boy in a crowd. And when she found Him, He was mingling with religious leaders around the temple. They were amazed at His theological prowess. His mother was trying to find her child. A little upset. Jesus, why did you just... Like, you can't just run off and talk to somebody. We have to stay together. We're in a family and there's lots of people. And come on, try to cooperate here. Anyway, upon finding Him, she scolded Him for not keeping up with the family. Jesus said to her, "Didn't you know, Mom, that I must be about My Father's business?" And she probably thought, Joseph. No. Joseph wasn't Jesus' father. I must be busy about My Father's business. As a child, 12 years old or so, they were amazed. Jesus, even as a young boy, was doing His Father's will. You see that in children. Hopefully it makes it through the teenage years, but sadly, more times than not, it stops right in around the time they become teenagers. Before then, they're open to the Spirit of God. They're moving. God, their life is full of God's activity. But what are the things then that set people sideways? It's not just teenagers that go sideways. Adults do too. But we need to stay alert to some things that maybe make us go sideways. Make us independent and self-reliant. I know what's doing a lot of that. In Matthew, Jesus speaks and He says, because of the increase of iniquity, the love of many will grow cold. He's talking about the last days, which we're in, have been for 2,000 years now, but we're getting closer to the end all the time. And as the iniquity increases, people become cold. And that will hinder the Holy Spirit and His work. That will make us build walls instead of reaching into the fire. A Spirit-filled life will be occupied probably sharing the gospel with somebody when the rapture happens. So you got to leave. Would you like that? Oh, never mind. It's too late. And in that, being preoccupied with the Father's will in the midst of the devil's rule, if you will, in this world, we will find joy and peace, satisfaction, accomplishment, self-actualization like you never realized possible. But we must yield to the Spirit and the Father's work. Another thing about Jesus, when the Jews wanted to kill him for healing people on the Sabbath, he simply said to them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." John 5:17, again, doing the things of his Father. Working. I'm working. I work now because the Holy Spirit abides within. Now my life works. Yeah. And it works, and I help others, and I do whatever. But now my life works. Yeah, it works. But that doesn't make me in charge of it. Don't take it over just because it's working. Leave God in the driver's seat. Get in the back and don't be a back seat driver even. Where are we going? Are we there yet? I need to know. I get that. I have that same kind of anxiety. But when I'm going through it, I try to leap from that to God, you know what I'm going to do or need, and I know that you care and that you build a whole earth out of nothing, and it's sustained to this day. And that's where I try to take myself to. I can live there. I can go there. I can do that there. But in my anxiety, I cannot breathe. So as to when does the Holy Spirit come into a life, that's kind of what we're looking at now. Let's go back to the day of Pentecost, just in closing here. Maybe I should start there next week. Yeah, we'll start there next week. But what I want to say, just in closing here today then, is that the Holy Spirit comes into a life the moment a person is born again. And then we could say other things like, well, when is the Holy Spirit turned loose in a life? Well, that depends on the person, because we're tentative. And especially these days when trust is like in the toilet. Seriously, we have more people expressing more love and trust in animals today than they do in other people. Huge. It's huge. I don't think they realize it's happening. They love animals. That's good. I like dogs and cats and stuff like that. But sometimes it gets overboard. And so in this unsure, doubtful, non-trusting atmosphere, when asked to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life and be your life, let Jesus be your life, some people are a little tenuous, not sure about that. I've heard testimonies, I won't get into them specifically, a number of them from pastors over the years who have been in ministry. Actually, this was the testimony of the best pastor I ever had. I caught him after. the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. But he was doing the work, and he was burning out in it. And it was losing its meaning. And he didn't know what was up. It's that moment he stopped to discover at that point that he was missing something. He had his doctrine was straight, it was good, but he's missing something. Is missing the Holy Spirit's control. And some of the other things is, I'll just quit with this one. There was whenever there's a meeting, even a revival meeting, and the Holy Spirit is healing people and people are getting saved and it's wonderful, people tend to worship that kind of an experience more than lay their life down for God. And so next time there's a meeting, they know what to do because all those other things were happening when that happened, so they mimic it. It becomes a counterfeit. And then when people see that and people put it on stuff that isn't real and doing things that isn't real because they saw somebody else doing it that was real, they shut the Holy Spirit out. And sadly, people then are those who would believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah. Holy Spirit is minimized. And So there's reasons things are the way they are. There are some people in the New Testament. Aquila and Priscilla found this fellow, and he was preaching, and he was very elegant in his preaching, and he was doing a reasonable job. And the scripture says they took him aside and showed him the way more excellently. What was that? I get a notion what it was. When I'm at Cape and Ray, I've been teaching the same book for, oh gosh, I think this might be my 22nd year. But every year, it comes out a little different. Sometimes it's an increase in knowledge, sometimes it's a decrease, sometimes it's a little different example. And I couldn't figure out, well, if the truth is the truth, why does it change? The truth isn't changing. Different parts of it are looked at and emphasized. Well, why is that? Because every year, there's 100 or so different people. And God knows each one, excuse me, God knows each one intimately. He knows you intimately. And I have no business messing with that. I want to be with you in your lives and to help you excuse me, and pray for you. But I don't need to know anything about you to bring God's word to you. I just need to know God. Listen to Him. If I listen to God, He'll tell you what you need to hear. Wow, that's easy. It's easy as long as you're willing to get over needing to be noticed or seen or preferred or things like that. And that's how the church should work. Because when it comes to exegeting the word, if your message is not prophetic in the sense of it's God speaking, it'll be pathetic. It'll just be religion. You don't need religion. I don't need religion. I need God. I need to hear from Him. I need to walk in His will. And so if we make room for God, He's there. Boy, yeah, but. I know. This people can have a lot of baggage. And there's a lot of yeah, buts in their life. I'm not asking you to trust people. We need to trust God. Trust God. You'll be all right. Might not go the way you want. Might be harder than you thought. But you'll be okay. Trust God. Trust God. He's good.